All right, little ones can be dismissed to go to junior church. Turn in your Bibles to the book of James chapter 3. James chapter 3. You thought you were going to get a Palm Sunday message. Wrong. The Lord laid this in my heart instead. What kind of speech generally rolls off your tongue and out of your mouth? I want you to think about what you have said this past week. And give yourself a thumbs up, I'm innocent, or a thumbs down, I'm guilty. If you're going to do that, maybe you better do it behind the seat. Bragging or boasting? Lying, flattering, slandering, gossiping, verbally abusing, cursing, making off-color remarks, talking behind another's back, passing on rumors, shading the truth, arguing, yelling, being sarcastic or cutting, teaching questionable truths, idle words. Think about that. The tongue is you in a unique way. It is a tattletale that tells on the heart and discloses the real person. Not only that, but misuse of the tongue is perhaps the easiest way to sin. There are some sins that an individual may not be able to commit simply because he does not have the opportunity. But there are no limits to what one can say. No built-in restraints or boundaries. In the scripture, the tongue is variously described as wicked, deceitful, perverse, filthy, corrupt, flattering, slanderous, gossiping, blasphemous, foolish, boasting, complaining, cursing, contemptuous, sensual, and vile. And the list is certainly not exhausted. No wonder God put the tongue in a cage behind the teeth, walled about by the mouth. Not surprising, the tongue is of great concern to James, being made mention in every chapter of his letter. He uses the tongue as still another test of living faith. Because of the genuineness of a person's faith will inevitably be demonstrated by his speech. James personifies the tongue and the mouth as representatives of the depravity and the wretchedness of the inner person. The tongue only produces what it's told to produce by the heart, where sin originates. So in summary, James teaches that true believers will possess a sanctified tongue, yet they must maintain a sanctified tongue. And he gives three compelling reasons for controlling the tongue: its potential to condemn, its power to control, and its propensity to corrupt. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray now that your word will find place in our hearts and prepare our hearts to receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That was an introduction to chapter 3 from John MacArthur's study book. Now, if you're in the book of James chapter 3, the tongue can do nasty things. The tongue can affect children all their life. Things can be said to a child that they can never get rid of. And they'll carry that with them all their life. To be honest with you, before I'd rather have somebody say something nasty to me, I'd rather you make a fist and just hit me in the face. Because at least I could heal from that. In a few days, I'd be healed. I can get over that. But what you say, you can never take back. And the Bible says every idle word men shall speak. They shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Are you listening to me? Each one of you will stand before your maker someday. We'll see how that works out. You ever have somebody say something nasty to you? Oh, yeah. You never forgot it, did you?
Yep.
We could title chapter 3, Sound Speech. We could title it, as MacArthur did, Taming the Tongue. That's a pretty good title. The tongue is the world's smallest but largest troublemaker. And it doesn't have to be. It has universally faced both the godly and the sinful throughout time. It's not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth. This is what defiles the man, because it comes from the heart. The heart and tongue are directly associated with each other. James was telling those of the church not to run quickly into the role of teaching. So that brings me to the first verse of chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. That's saying, don't desire to be a teacher. Wow. Just remember that if you do, you will receive the greater damnation, because people weigh your words. Your words can affect a lot of people. And James was telling those of the church not to run quickly. He didn't say not to desire the teaching ministry. What he was saying is don't run quickly to do that. Because there's three reasons for that. The teacher is responsible to teach truth and not opinions. Secondly, because a teacher affects many lives. Because a teacher is expected to live the truth. You see, it seems like it's human nature that we all want to put in our 2 cents worth. Reminds me of the Sunday school lesson today. It really wasn't the disciples' business to put their nose in where it didn't belong. They were so worried about this lady dumping her costly spikenard on Jesus, which was a preview of his burial ointment. And of course, somebody had to put their 2 cents in, which was the disciples. Mainly perhaps Judas. Why wasn't this ointment spent and the money given to the poor? Oh, as if Judas was interested in the poor. Judas was interested in himself. There was times when if he needed money, he just reached in the purse and took it out and used it himself. He wasn't concerned about the poor. The devil just used Judas to speak to in that manner. That's all. Judas was too stupid to realize it. That the devil was using them, like many today, too stupid to realize that the devil uses you, especially when you're in a pit of anger. And I know there's almost hits every one of us. When you're angry, you said things that you wished you wouldn't have said. You regret saying it. But once it's out, it's too late. A good illustration of that. And I wished I had a box of feathers here. I would open the lid and I'd just throw the feathers and then open the doors and let the wind just take them away. And then after the wind takes all those feathers and blows them all over the place, then I'm going to ask you to please pick them all up and put them back in the shoebox. Is that possible? It might be possible if they were all in here. But you see, it doesn't stop within these walls. That's the problem. We do it outside these walls. You try to pick up the feathers outside these walls. You try to gather them all back and put them in the box. You can't. But I'll tell you one thing. The Lord knows exactly where every feather went. Yes, he does. And he's the only one that can put them back in the box. Think about that the next time you open your mouth. We always like to give our 2 cents worth. We like to contribute to every conversation. Having a proud attitude that thrives in self-expression. We always like to desire to give them our 2 cents. James says, use restraint. Can't you use restraint? You feel a need that you have to comment on everything. James says, there's times to keep your mouth shut. The wife tells you to do that. Why don't you take her advice? Hello. How many times has the wife told you? Now, when you go to the meeting, keep your mouth shut. What do you do? Well, she wasn't there, so I can do what I want. I hope somebody tattles on you. That's what I hope. I hope somebody tattles. Are you getting this? Is this why I was supposed to preach this today? Huh? I can tell you it wasn't real popular for me to talk about this today. I would have much rather talked about something else. Phew. For in many things, we offend all. Now I got to find my place. In many things, we offend all. Here we go. To offend means to trip or stumble. Words are very important. Our thoughts inwardly as well as those expressed outwardly. A person makes an unguarded statement and suddenly finds himself in an argument. Boy, that's easy to do. Doesn't take long to find yourself into an argument if you really spoke out of turn. Or if you're one of these that decides you have to always give your opinion. Let's read a little bit further. For verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. Well, the word perfect there means mature. We know there was only one perfect, that was Christ. But the word perfect here just simply means the same as a mature man. And able also to bridle the whole body. Perfect means mature. Just the word can mean so much and do so much. Either of good or ill. Just a few words. Proverbs says words fitly spoken are like jewels. But words not fitly spoken can do a lot of ill. It describes a man who has reached his goal to bridle the whole body because the tongue resists control more than any other area of behavior. In Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Proverbs 21:23, whoso keeps his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Look at verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us. How many of you here ever rode a horse? How many of you ever put a bit in the horse's mouth? I have too. I think they make a jawbreaker bit. Is that right? I think there was a jawbreaker bit. Someone told me they make a bit that actually can break a horse's jaw. They shouldn't make something like that, but they actually make something like that. When you're getting a horse's back, you got to let them know who's boss. I remember riding a horse that thought he'd going to take me for a ride, and boy, he did. Neighbor had a horse, and I jumped on, and man, he took me out across the apple orchard. And he didn't want me on him, so he decided to go under the apple trees. And you know them branches just scoot, 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 right across my belly and my head. He tried to get me off. Well, that was a mistake. Because when I got on the other side of the tree and I finally got through that, I jumped off and got the reins, and I mean I gave him a whooping. I gave him a whooping. And then I got back on and said, now you're going to give me a decent ride. Or I'm going to do the same thing again. I thought, you're not going to ever do that again to me. So we've all had a little bit of experience there. And I have learned, you daren't let them know that you're afraid, because they'll figure it out. You got to let them know you're in charge. A horse is bit. He responds to the pressure, which indicates the will of the rider. The unbridled tongue is resistant to the will of God, and it will bring shame and embarrassment to himself and to the Lord. The tongue's potential to influence and destroy is far-reaching. Far-reaching, depending on how it is used. Lips profess faith, but lives can deny it. The way you live can deny it. Verse 4, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. The ship's rudder is very small in comparison to the ship which it guides. It's steered by a very small helm, wherever the one at the controls wants it to go. Verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. The tongue, in this particular portion of Scripture, could be compared to a match in size. But its effect is like a raging forest fire. Behold, what great fire a little spark can kindle. And that's when it's talking about the tongue. Behold the damage that a tongue can do. Are you hot-headed? If you are, it can lead to some burning words. You ever been around anybody that's hot-headed? It leads to burning words that later you will regret having used. Words can break hearts and do a great deal of hurt. Can you imagine parents telling their child, I hate you. I wish you'd have never been born. You'll never amount to anything. And you carry that hurt with you all your life. You can't get rid of it. It echoes in your mind constantly. Like an old video that just keeps playing over and over and over and over and over. A person can incite discussion that leads to debating, taking sides, and can grow into a heated argument. Let our speech be always full of grace. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. A world of iniquity. Unrighteousness. It spreads throughout the body like a cancer. There's four evils that is potential of the tongue. You need to write these down. The first one is destructive. Destructive, deceptive, dangerous, and hypocritical. Destructive, deceptive, dangerous, and hypocritical. Experience teaches that even a well of intentioned mature Christians who gets careless and doesn't think before he speaks can be destructive in what he says. Romans 6:6, the tongue is not hopeless. To whom ye yield. You see, that's the key. Yield your thoughts and your tongue to the indwelling Holy Spirit rather than to the roaring lion like Satan, who roars like a lion. in verse 7. I think maybe we'll maybe take that verse yet. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Then I see a colon. We have to go to the period. But the tongue, verse 8, can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. The wildest stallion can be broken, but the tongue continually erupts in outward bursts of uncontrolled emotion. Even the most respected and gracious of people have had their seasons of regretful words. Isn't that true? Even the very best of us have had seasons where we said things that we were regretful for. James does not say that the tongue cannot be tamed, but he does say that no man can tame the tongue, but what man cannot do, God can do. Did you catch that? No man can tame him, but God can. God can. The individual who will daily yield his tongue to the control of the Holy Spirit can overcome. It will require a great deal of watchfulness, but the tongue does not have to be a troublemaker. So give God your tongue and your heart each day and ask him to use you to be a blessing to others. When Jesus Christ controls the tongue, then we need not fear that we will say the wrong things. And then finally, verse 8, poisonous tongues do great damage. Deadly poison without a label is all. That's sad. To have poison in a container and it not be labeled. That's dangerous. The more deadly, our lips and tongues need not to be rotten to be poison, but it only takes a whispered word. An insinuation can smear a character and you can destroy a life of labor. Did you catch that? A few words can destroy a whole life of labor. Just a few words. I once heard this quote. When you are tearing down somebody else's character, you're just simply exposing your own. When you are tearing down somebody else's character, you are merely exposing your own. How's that? Full of deadly poison. It speaks of death. Blows that words may deliver to good relationships. A single sentence that is uttered in heated discussion may sever a long lifetime friendship. Oh, I wonder, how many friendships have been destroyed over this? The tongue must overcome the contrary forces. We have an old nature that wants to control us and make us sin. Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So where no talebearer is, the strife ceases. Did you catch that? Where no wood is, the fire goes out. Where no talebearer is, the strife ceases. We're going to stop there. Put a mark there. We'll pick up in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, we have sunrise service. Next weekend. Okay. You know we don't have a Good Friday service here. We had tried that and it didn't work out very well. So here's what I want you to do. Since we don't have a Good Friday service, I want you to do something good on Good Friday. Does that sound like something that would work? I want you to think about doing something good on Good Friday. Now, a real good example of that would be if you ever go to Dunkin' Donuts. That would mean you pay for the person behind you. Did you ever do that? I had it happen to me, and I thought, wow, what a blessing. What a way to start the day. I got up to the window, and they said, yours is paid for. I said, what do you mean it's paid for? I didn't pay it. The person ahead of you paid it. Really? Well, if you paid mine, I can pay the one behind me. What's that? $240. Oh. What did you order? Well, would you pay it? Think about that. You see, for some, giving's a donation. For others, it's a sacrifice. So a chicken gives an egg. That's a donation. A pig gives his life. That's a sacrifice. So think about that. Let's all do something good on Good Friday. Find something to do for somebody on Good Friday. Let's make that a practice. Would you stand with me? It's time to go home. God's so good. He's so good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a joy and blessing it's been to share your word this morning. Father, I thank you for each and every one that's here today. This is my family, and I love every one of them. And I want to see every one of them in heaven. I don't want to see this family circle be broken in any way, shape, or form. I want to see everyone in heaven. So, Lord, has there been times in my life I've said things that I regretted? Yes, there has been times, lots of times. And so, Lord, today I ask you to forgive me. I want you to forgive me. I don't want that held to my account when I stand before you. And, Lord, a lot of idle words, yeah, probably said a lot of them too. And I want you to forgive me of those too. When I stand before you, Lord, I want to be forgiven of all these things. Don't hold any of them to my account. Because, Lord, I know you went to Calvary for me. And you shed your blood for me, and I'm forgiven today. And I can stand in your presence today and not feel any condemnation because you forgave me. So, Lord, I want you to forgive each and every one that's here today. Not just me, but everyone here has at one time or another been affected by saying things they shouldn't have said. So, Lord, forgive them. And from this day forward, help us to do better. Help us to think about what we're going to say before we say it. Because, Lord, I want good to come out of my mouth. I want blessing to come out of my mouth, not cursing, blessing, to encourage and help others. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.